Blog Talk Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, the immaculate. Now listen to this, I'll tell you about heartache. I'll tell you about the heartache and the loss of God. I'll tell you about the hopelessness, the meager food for soul for God. I'll tell you about the maiden with wrought iron soul.
Hey everybody, buckle up. We got to go way back to get in the mood tonight. Welcome to a very special edition of Exo Election Night on Soma Time. Holy mother of breasts. Where are we? It is 11 bells here in New York. Oh, there's all kinds of voter screw-ups going on over here locally in Rye, over in Connecticut and Bridgeport. But as we sit here and count the votes, and then we will count the votes, count the money, count the votes. It looks as if we're going to get a little sea change in the House, as we have pretty much projected the Republicans are going to take over there. Jimmy's cracking corn. Doesn't matter to me. Let's see what Jon Stewart's up to.
Very greatly, depending on whether the person predicting it was a Democrat or anybody else in the world other than a Democrat.
Had to get started somehow.
I say we're going to maintain both houses. This is going to be a bloodbath for the Democrats. A number of races are swaying our way.
All signs pointing to a midterm bloodbath here.
On pace to maintain the majority.
I think it's going
to
be a bloodbath.
We'll run red with victory. All right. So now the prognosticating is over for results and analysis. We go to the best effing news team on the planet. First up, Asif Manvi at Democratic National Headquarters. Asif, so nice to see you. I have you here, man. I see the moving truck behind you. Democrats talked an optimistic game, but even they finally realized they are headed towards the Overlook Hotel and the bloodbath. The purge has begun.
Are you kidding me, Joe? Democrats here are doubling down. They are moving equipment in, giddy in anticipation of what they believe will be a landslide victory.
They're delusional. They're backing up their happy words with action.
You have no idea. Today, Nancy Pelosi had her right hand removed and replaced with a gavel.
Wow.
Mahogany, not cheap.
No, thank you. Awesome. Olivia Munn is at Republican National Headquarters. Olivia, obviously the mood there, jubilation.
John, an historic night.
Wow.
Not only the Tea Party ascendant, but with this Republican wave breaking, it looks like Ohio's John Boehner will be the new Speaker of the House. It is the highest elective office ever to be reached by an orange American. No, I'm sorry. An American of orange descent. Yeah. once ridiculed orange Americans for too long have been relegated to menial jobs such as college mascots or reality television sideshows or typecast as the gay Muppet. John, tonight is their night. Because of John Boehner, somewhere out there, a little boy or a girl with a terrible fake tan knows that he has a future.
Thank you, Olivia. That's right. That's very moving. I appreciate that. Jason Jones. And send notes, Olivia. Jason Jones is in South Carolina, where one of the strangest Senate candidates in a long time, Democrat Alvin Green, made his stand. Jason joins us now from Green's headquarters. What's the story there, Jason?
Well, here at Green campaign headquarters / basement, the story is I am destroying Alvin Green and Madden, and I would like to make it clear that I let him beat the Steelers.
Jason, how though is Alvin Green taking the loss in the Senate? We're projecting Jim DeMint 61% to 29%, 71% reporting. That's...
Well, if this game is any indication, the man is used to being smoked. Gone. That's right, AT.
Why would he high-five you for beating him badly at Madden?
That's well, true. John, believe it or not, he's a bit of a weird dude.
Has Green made a concession phone call at all yet?
No, he's out of minutes.
Minutes.
Green going to contact Jim DeMint to concede.
Is DeMint on Xbox Live?
No, I don't think he's on Xbox Live.
Then Alvin probably won't concede.
All right, enough of Stewart. Anyway, as we sit here now, according to the Yahoo stats, looks like we got 18 new governors that are Republican. The House is 153 to 104 with 178 undecided, but I saw as many as 240 on the Republican side. And the Senate is 47-42 blue team. So there you go, with 11 still undecided here. So, you know, there's some big news. We'll get over some of the big elections. But for the most part, what I really want to talk to you guys about tonight is not so much the results, but the way the ideology is shifting in the country, because the Tea Party, I think it's going to, let me just check on Yahoo again. I think it said 6 people got elected from the Tea Party, which is huge, because now the Republicans have a problem. They can distance themselves during the campaign, but when it comes to governing, you might have an issue. So let's see. Oh, I'm sorry, 3 Senate seats, not 6. Let's go back and see, man. Yeah. But the big one, of course, is Rand Paul in Kentucky, which was a huge win for these Tea Party types, which I hope to get some understanding about if our guest is still awake at 11:30. We'll see. But it's goofy. And then, you know, some of the other elections I wanted to watch, the California governor's race, is neck and neck out there. There's a bunch of them out there. But the wrestling lady lost here in Connecticut, McMahon. Got blown away by Blumenthal, the guy that lied about his military record, proving that Connecticut does not think on either side. They just kind of just hold party lines. And in New York, we had the first time we had the paper ballots this year. I did mine locally here in New Rochelle, and it was screwy because we went from the old voting machines with the lever, which had their problems, to these paper ballots that, let's just say the staff that was on hand over there wasn't quite used to the system. It's kind of open confession. You could sit on a park bench, you know, they have little picnic tables out, and basically everybody's like cheating on everyone else's election card. There's no more privacy. Then you shove it into the scanner, and if your little bubble was off by a millimeter, it would reject it. A bunch of machines got jammed over in Rye. They got to hand count those votes. They didn't have enough cards printed up in Connecticut. The controllers over there screwed that up, so they got to go back and do that one again. You know, we haven't had a clean election as long as I can remember, but every time they change the technology, it seems like there's more problems than less. I don't understand it, but that's New York State 101 is they could screw up a one-car funeral around here, but that's, you know, that's what they do around here. But yeah, I'm just going to take a look at some of the key elections, then we'll get into some of the nuances on the somatic side of this. Definitely some issues with the health care bill. that's going to be hotly contested now. With the House is going to have more of a Republican voice. You know, the move to repeal it is going to get come back and get traction. And of course, our friend Sarah is now going to get some attention too. Like I said, this is going to be more about how the Republican Party plays it outside the culture wars. It's easy to campaign in the culture war. It's real hard to govern in it. And usually what they do is they go right back to being Republicans. They go right back to putting the money back in the pockets of the corporations and all the lobbyists and all the ones that they hate, all the ones that they have the Tea Party protesting against. But meanwhile, when it comes time, if Boehner's running the House, he's like one of the biggest Gulf, toting Republican types you could stomach. I just had the orange thing. It was pretty funny. Anyway, Democrats technically hold 57 seats in the Senate. Two independent senators caucus the party. Remember Specter crossed over and a couple other ones. But we'll get into the nuances of this in a minute. But we'll see. Anyway, number to call to participate if you want to get on the air. It's 646-478-4847. That's 646-478-4847. Why does it say 3 minutes remaining in the show? What is that about? That doesn't make any sense. Got to check that crap out right now. Good old Blog Talk's about to pop me off the air here. That ain't happening. As I scurry around. So let's just take a minute here to make sure we stay on the freaking air. Because I did book the show for 90 minutes. So see if I can make sure this happens. That would really stink. I was on the air for like 15 minutes or something. Oh, my God. Anyway, priorities. Hello? Can we get in there? I can't. This is more important than even talking to myself, is to make sure I can continue to talk to myself in the next 3 minutes. This isn't moving very quickly, is it? Wow. Good thing I look at the scoreboard there. Come on, hurry up. All right, schedule an editor's show. It's kind of dumb of me, I guess, to not notice that. But then again, come on. You're listening to Summertime Election Night Show. Hopefully we will get to stay on the air here. It could really suck if I'm knocked off, wouldn't it? Let's see. Upcoming. How about right now? How about edit? Can't believe I booked it for 15 minutes. That's bizarre. He is scurrying. This is nuts. If I get knocked off, I'll be back on at 11:30, believe me. But I'm going to try. I'm trying. This is like a 3-minute process to get to the freaking 3 minutes. Okay. Another glitch. You gotta be kidding me. This is taking forever. Oh, here we go. I want 90. Give me 90. Okay. Please update. Kind of bizarre. Oh, you take forever. There's nothing like Blog Talk Radio when you need Blog Talk Radio. Please update quicker. I think it's updating. The magic of radio. We're all waiting. Now the computer's answering the mothership. Will you please? There you go. All right. I think I'm still here. Upcoming, let's see. Yeah, now it says 90 minutes. Did this say 90 minutes? No. Let's renew this. Reload. There you go. An hour and 15 minutes remaining. On the air. I'd like to thank my friends. My friends. Does anything work tonight? Look at this thing. Oy, God. Oh, okay. You're doing your thing. All right. My friends, hello? There they are.
You filthy criminies.
Thank you. Jesus. All right. right, let's see what Stewart's up to. I'm a little mad at myself here.
And yet, Russ Feingold defeated for having progressive values in Louisiana. David Vitter has absolutely destroyed his challenger by going out with hookers. All right, so.
There you go.
So really, what is the message we're sending to America tonight? It is better to, I think, go see prostitutes than, in fact, leave Social Security as a right.
Schumer won, Gildebrand won, the two Democrats in the Senate party, wasn't even close, landslide for them. Let's see what happened in the governor's race was kind of the same way, I think. Andrew Cuomo trounced Paladino, the big grouchy guy, 59-36, nothing much going on there, anything going on in the House. Kind of a close race, looks like... They haven't called it yet, but looks like Timothy Bishop's going to win, 54-46 in that. New York State's very strange. Downstate more Democratic, upstate more on the Republican side. But anyway, let's see. Zooming out now, let me take a look at the, wow, look at the mess in the middle of the country. Boy, oh boy. Let's see what's going on in California, IA. That is a messy state. Let's see. The governor's race is very close out there. Basically, you know, because the calls haven't closed yet. It's just the last 8 out there. So we're gonna be tracking that one a little bit as we go. But right now they have basically been Meg Whitman and Jerry Brown neck and neck. That's a big race there. Nevada is the one I wanted to look at because looks like Harry Reid's got a close lead there. Mr. Speaker. Let's see. And again, let's see, let's go, where is it? House. Wow, what the heck? Nope, Senate. Yeah, pretty much 50-50 from what they were telling us before, but I guess they're still thinking Harry Reid's going to pull that one out. And a lot of this stuff, like I said, I'm trying to get past the reds and the blues. I'm trying to get more towards what is the somatic undertone of this election. Okay, it's been a very, very visceral campaign. A lot of gut check, a lot of appealing to people's fears, a lot of appealing to people's prejudices, actually. Where do they come from? And how do you use that going forward to govern? Because you could always get someone to vote on an impulse, whether it's the ideology that the right's used for years, more on the religious front, more on the family value stuff, the culture war stuff. Democrats always late to the party, always trying to frame the issues for social equality and things like that, and then circling around and going, you know, into the whiny liberal mode. It's almost like a drill. In fact, the wrestling lady could have scripted it, you know. And so then you have the president. If anyone's checked out any of his speeches the last 2 weeks, you know, as much as we talk about the split in the Republican side, you know, between the neocons and, you know, the warmonger guys and the typical old white male Republicans and these Tea Party people that are mostly small business people that are highly educated, by the way. They're not as dumb as they look, but they've been completely co-opted by the Republican machine to basically raise hell against the very corporations that are backing them. It's such a white noise situation. I can't put my mind to it. Hopefully, if our guest is around at 11:30, he can handle it for you. But I wanted to get on tonight just to kind of go over some of the results, look at some of the trends as we look at the West Coast results coming in. And, you know, tomorrow night when all the dust is settled and we got some time, hopefully we can get Paul Garcia on the air from the Merlin Project to sort of take these results to the next level. Like, what happens next is really what you want to see. But I guess, you know, like I said, as we're sitting here now, it looks like Democrats are going to get the House. Democrats are going to get the House. They're going to lose the House. The governorships are going to trend more towards the Republican side. There's still some more to go on that one. And they won back a bunch of seats in the Senate, but not enough. Not even close, really. But it's kind of a strange move. If I zoom out, look at the whole country here, you know, looking back at the Obama map and looking at it now, it those Midwestern states that were sort of like, you know, surprise victories for the Democrats back in 08, they leaned back on the other side for these midterm elections, which is weird because that's where a lot of the unemployment is. See, and I guess that's really where it all comes from, is this outrage and this feeling of, you know, what Obama did. If you prioritize back to 2008, you know, we're coming out of that, the first, what do you call it, the first wave of the buyouts and stuff. And we got into the spring of 2009, and everything started to tank again. Then we did the second bailout, and then the car stuff started. And it was, you know, cash for clunkers and all that. Remember that, the whole summer of that? And what you saw was all these Midwestern towns were zipping up. I mean, Michigan, you know, all those towns out there, you know, definitely in the Midwest here, zipping up. No more work for you. And so the issue became, by the summer of 2009, became basically not just the economy, but unemployment, and what are we doing to generate jobs in this country? And, you know, where did we go? We went to health care. So it's almost like, you know, the tone deafness of Washington, and Obama's guilty of it, like almost all of them are, is that they want to get these big-ticket items pushed across. These are paper victories. These are hollow victories. So when you see all the fighting that went on over the health care bill, which, as I told you, what is the victory there? The victory is that more people get access to the third leading cause of death. That's the victory, okay? The victory is not for you and not for me, and not even for the medical doctors, the work of their medical doctors, because now they're going to take care of more people for the same money or even less, and their entire authority is now being subjugated by the government and by the nurse practitioners and the physician's assistants, because there's not enough MDs, enough people on the allopathic side to service all these people. So you're going to have less access, not more, more access to the system, less access to doctors. You're going to have more access to nurse practitioners and physician's assistants who will do the blood and the urine and the 40 common conditions, hand you your flu shot, hand you your allergy shot, you know. You're not going to get to your GP for that. You're not going to get access to your pediatrician for that anymore, because they're going to be too busy doing paperwork, because the government's going to want every single damn thing that they mandate documented, because they're going to regulate this thing into the ground. That's all the government can do. They're not trained to do this. They're not even equipped to do it on a you know, a cooperative level. If you've ever had to deal with the paperwork surrounded in the Medicare situation, which is minimal compared to major medical. How about that? You'll find out real quickly that it's so inefficient and so unproductive and so unreliable that it almost sort of defeats itself. It's not a way that the government cannot do this efficiently. There's too many of us. It needs to be where it is. It needs to be free market. I would deregulate, if you give me 5 minutes to deregulate all the health care, I would basically, you know, that's the best way to use it, because if you mandate it, VA hospitals, you know, nursing homes, they're all shutting down. They can't afford to operate under these conditions. They're too choked off. They're too regulated into the ground. And you can't give them to the corporate world either, because they'll do the same thing. They'll choke them dry. But if you made them community hospitals, if you made them municipal hospitals, things like that, if you made those centers much more accessible to a local economy and made it much more decentralized, like our friend Rushkoff talks about all the time, now all of a sudden you have two things at work. You have a community of health educators, people like myself that understand these things, we're trained in these things, and then you have a whole community-based healthcare plan that would then, if you did it, can you imagine if you signed up for your leisure pass, you know, in the summer to go to the beach, and part of that equation meant you got health education services, you got things to help your kids academically perform better in school, you got things to take care of your information to take care of your senior relatives, you know, grandparents, whatever, and emergency services were just like the fire department, were just like the police department. They were part of that budget. We never squeeze down to the local level in politics anymore, because that's where the reality is. We keep it up in the air, we keep it state, and we keep it federal, because you can abstract it. You can write 2,000-page documents and no one can read them, and then you let it all just bureaucratically rain down upon the masses. And while we're ducking all the pitchforks coming out of the clouds, people on a local level can't get things done. So what happens? The local hospitals close down, and you end up with bare minimum. And if you just reverse that and put it on its ear, you wouldn't have to deal with that anymore, and you would have more local jobs related to this rather than having this crisis care mentality for everything. Do you really want the Superdome to be where people get health care? You know, that's what they do. They convert these stadiums into these big, you know, these docks on wheels things. Like, basically, their idea of serving more people in America is just like if we went to a disaster site and set up a bunch of tents. You want Sergeant Gupta being your correspondent all the time? Here we are, this disaster. Here we are, that's the way they want to do it, because they could minimize their overhead that way, as far as the way they run it, but they could maximize their control and they could influence more people that way. And it pleases the two things that they're trying to serve, the drug companies and the insurance companies. You're not even at the table, is what I'm trying to tell you. You're not even at the table. All right, time for a little diagnosis.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
What the fuck was he talking about?
Yeah, that's right. What was I talking about? Well, here we are here in summertime. I'm just reviewing some of these election results tonight. And, wow, the new numbers here in the Senate, 44 Republicans, 48 Democrats, 8 undecided. They are getting hosed. Let's see what's going on here. The ones that are coming in out west. I mean, the big one to me is Nevada in the Senate, California governor, couple other ones that stick out to me. I was looking at before. Let's see if there's anything going on in the House that needs to be updated here. They got up to 180 Republicans now, 120 on the Democratic side, 135 still undecided. Looks like a lot of the Midwestern results are coming in, all over Texas here. But Republicans are winning basically all the middle states. Really is kind of a, you know, a typical reversal. Is what you expect. I totally expect that. The way we have a two-party system where only two parties get to talk, that's why this third-party thing about the Tea Party is such a kind of a false god. It doesn't make any sense. You know, because all they've done is just split the Republican Party again, just like they split it when they went to religious right. In the Democratic Party, we've had discussions of, progressives versus moderates, right? Which is a much more of a grayscale thing, much more of a nuanced thing, And so it's difficult to issue by issue, vote by vote, find where that line is. Where the Tea Party is so rabid anti-government, but they want to be in the government to regulate the government. And then you have the staunch Republicans, the Boehners and people like that, that are playing Papa Bear to these guys. And they keep their 10-foot poles out. They don't want to be associated with them. Even Sarah Palin, who's been lauded as you know, queen of whatever, of all the Tea Party people, they worship her. Meanwhile, she won't identify with them. She won't put herself at the head of that movement, even when she's been endorsing candidates here and there, and she's been trying to suck up to the guy in Iowa and stuff like that. It's just been kind of strange to watch how these iconic figures on the right are playing this out. They're really playing this out. They're not getting completely 100% behind what the Tea Party represents, because if you look at the Tea Party from the outside, there's no middle. There's no ends. There's no sides. It's one giant blob of clouds where one minute it's a Glenn Beck type of crowd and the next minute it's a Karl Rove kind of crowd. And so they're all over the map. And that's why it's difficult for them to, you know, to really be anything more than what they are, you know. Take a little break, get my voice back, give me some water, see if my guest calls in. You're listening to Summertime on a special election night. See if I can find an appropriate song. Well, here's a good one. Right back. Too loud. Let's try it again. Bye-bye. So I might have to get him on tomorrow night during our normal show. Let's see if I have, I can do two things at once. Oh, Philippi, yes you can. Let's see if you can translate the results to your Yahoo. There you go. Is that right? So now we're all over here on Mozilla. And it looks like our good friend Mr. Colbert is on, so I'd like to check him out for a minute. I'm going to get out of here a little at the midnight. You guys are boring me. Nobody wants to call. Let's see. It's like a show from the damned here. All right, I'm checking in. Let's see. I wanted to, like I said, a couple of the nutballs I lost tonight. Green in North Carolina, Christine O'Donnell, heck was she? I know Rand Paul won. I think she says South Carolina, right? Was Christine? Oh, Alvin Green was South Carolina. Yeah, he got trounced, 63-27. Let's see. What was the other Senate race? Was it North Carolina? I don't even know. No. No, that wasn't it. Where's Christine O'Donnell? What the heck state was she in? Confusion, mostly. Tennessee. No. No election there. All right, zoom out. See if I can find it here, because she got beat pretty badly. Is it West Virginia? No. All right, go that way. I know she made a fabulous speech when she lost. It's going to party all night. Yeah, I was in Delaware. I thought that was my next stop on the train. She's hilarious. This is someone who fancies herself as the next MILF. You know, the next one we're going to watch in the elections, just because she's so politically so controversial. The fact that she's a walking, talking moron doesn't seem to stop her. CBS has a couple of updated stats here. We've got the majorities are 218 in the House, and the Republicans are plus 38. They're right there. So they got 210 projected winners. House Democrats 156, which is a big time change. They just gained almost 40 seats. Christine O'Donnell's hilarious. This guy, Coons, that beat her, was a hold your nose guy, you know. But again, sometimes you can get the base out there and really turn back a lot of these sort of internet sensations. I mean, wow, you know, what do you do with someone like Christine O'Donnell from here? Where does she go? Does she go on some church circuit? What do they do with these people? You know, as compared to the guys like Alan Green, that you know, I'm not even sure how the guy walks and chews gum, and yet he was running for Senate. So it's, you know, hey, I guess if Randy Moss can quit his team and Brett Favre can play with no neck. You know, why not? Let all these people run. What the hell? So let's see. So, yeah, I'm looking at the Senate map. It is remarkable how many. It's the Senate map, right? Yeah. It is amazing. Amazing. I mean, it's almost like it's reverted back to like an 06 type of a deal. Let's see if we got any. Oh, there he is. Joining us now live from an undisclosed location in a bunker in northern Westchester County, we have Eco Tom. Welcome to the dance.
Hello there, Mark. How are
Hello
you?
Hello there. 1137 in the east.
How is it shaping up there, sir?
It depends what side you're using to judge this.
Well, as a registered Republican, it matters not to me. You understand what what I'm saying. I have not. What actually happened with the Delaware race? May I ask?
Yeah, well, we were just discussing that. Christine O'Donnell took it on the old choppers.
She lost. Okay, that's good. So the witch lost.
She was unceremoniously dismissed.
It was the Blair, or should I say the Antietam Creek, witch loss in Maryland. Okay, so.
Yeah, we got 57 to 40 with 99% of the votes in that one.
Now, how many seats in the House
our buddy in South Carolina, though. How many for what?
Which one?
On the House side, the latest stats was 210 for the Republicans and 156 for the Democrats with a bunch still out there.
Oh, okay.
But they're going to get the House. The news is they fired Nancy. They killed the witch.
Mm-hmm.
In South Carolina, our buddy Mr. Green, he lost 63-27. Wow. I don't know.
What about the rest of the Confederacy?
If I look at, that's what I was just talking about before you got on the air here, is that when I look at the whole country, it is amazing how much the map looks like a 2006 map.
No, that's what, well, 2006
what am I talking about? It looks like when the Republicans, it looks like a 94 map.
Yeah.
Like a midterm thing for Clinton. But it in the respect of a 2006 map where the other party just reversed everything after they reelected Bush 43, but the whole North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Florida all went red. Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, Arkansas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, Wisconsin, all red. Democratically, I mean,
what
Republican
about, what about,
lead in Illinois
about
and Pennsylvania.
Russ Feingold? Do you hear anything about Feingold?
Feingold, that's out west. That's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Feingold.
Because he's a very major, he's a very important person to speak about, if we may.
Yeah, projected to lose up in Wisconsin.
That's sad. That's a sad situation. That's a real good man, as far as I'm concerned. So, in other words, what
yeah.
you're saying to me is that South Carolina has actually rung the bell from, you know, from St. Michael's chimes, and they are actually seceding again. What we're saying.
Oh yeah. Oh, tomorrow morning I think the Civil War begins again. when you look at this map, I mean, if you're waking up in the Oval Office, you're pretty much nailing the window shut, and you're starting to think about that Nobel Peace Prize and cash in on the thing.
Is the Senate holding? That's the most important part. Is the Senate holding?
Senate is holding as of now. Let's see. Updated. We have Senate is 48 Democrats, 44 Republicans, 8 undecided. So
okay, that's terrific. Okay, that's important. Okay.
And the governors, it was strange to me because the governors is 20 to 13 Republicans with 17 undecided. And most of the wins were again, straight down the middle of the country. South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Wyoming, Utah, and Idaho all went back to the mother the party there.
Well, that's
so like I was saying, a lot of the ones that Obama won 2 years ago have swung back to being red states again.
You have to remember also that his base, as we have to go back a little bit. You have to remember what Saxby Chambliss said in 2008, because there was a special election to actually a runoff election for him, and he actually took the seat from Max Cleland. If you remember Max Cleland,
yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
Max Cleland was a 3-time amputee who actually was a server in Vietnam. And he really, you know, he saved people's lives, and he was morphed in advertisements in 2002 with Osama bin Laden, and because he refused to go with the Patriot Act, and Max and Saxby Chambliss won on that situation, and Saxby Chambliss he's not a person that you would actually consider somebody honorable like Max Cleland, and. The fact of the matter is that if you remember the 08, the 2008 election, Saxby Chambliss made mention that if it wasn't that Obama feller, as he referred to him, you know, he brought his base out. You see, I hate to say it, the African American vote probably didn't show up that well, but in the 2012 election, they're going to show up, and these people are going to be pummeled.
Well,
and
not to mention
the recession still 100% going.
Well, and underemployment is close to 20%. Because it's funny how all these Midwestern states went back to the Republicans, and they all lost their jobs.
Well,
that's where all the factories
mentality.
Are closing down. That's where all the jobs were lost. The Midwest got gutted by the car thing and all the factories. And here they are going right back to them.
Hey, listen, between you and me, Mark, It's like I said in the 04 election, I said to people, well, you know, I'm kind of glad that Bush won because at least I have something to bitch about for the next 4 years. To joke around about, but the fact of the matter is that now it's time to turn your hawk eyes on and to actually go after them 100 miles an hour. Let's see what they do.
They're not sitting there, you know, just saying no to everything. Let's see what they do. Yeah.
Mark, did you ever canvass for a politician in your entire life? I mean, like
probably
go out
against my will as a small child.
But I did. You know, when I was like, you know, 18, the first thing I did was register in the Republican Party, and I went out canvassing, and I canvassed for about 3 years. I mean, my brother even knows, and he's seen the bumper stickers and all the people in the Westchester County, the Republican caucus that would drop flyers off, deliver this, deliver that. I did that. And I, you know, I believed in it. And believe it or not, it was a Roman Catholic priest who was a New Dealer who basically turned me on to Michael Moore. You know, then goes the story. And, you know, it's, to me, it's a fight. It's a beautiful fight. I really do. I mean, this is the only place in the world where you can have a revolution that's nonviolent. No, there's no guns. You get, to me, there's a reason why revolt and vote rhyme. That's the way it goes. We have a long way to go with this, and in my opinion, excuse me, I just woke up. I took a nap, you know, on behest of you. And I think that it's going to be this is good. This is gridlock. This is absolute gridlock. You have the Senate on the Democrat side, and you know, and you have the Republicans controlling the House, and they're going to do all sorts of rotten things. And they're going to be exposed every day of the week. Now you're going to see in the House of Representatives what they've been doing in the Senate for the last 2 years.
Well, again, to me now it's almost like the preseason's over, because instead of making the sort of the crux of their existence as a party to just invalidate Obama, they actually have to stand for something, vote for something, be accountable to their people that vote them in. They can't just stay on the sidelines and boo, which is what they've been doing for about 20 months now.
That's, well, they would, that if you really pay attention to the situation, the House of Representatives has passed a lot of bills, about 200 and some odd, that were really beneficial to average people, and that got shot down in the Senate because of the filibuster. If the Democrats now are in control of the Senate, they should just destroy the filibuster. And you know, you want to talk about something that's really interesting. I mean, if I was the president, this is what I would do. The House of Representatives has the power of the purse. They have the power of releasing money or holding money back. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what the Republicans are going to do? They're going to hold money back for average idiots like us. You know, people who actually need some fun. People with food stamps and everything else. They're going to hold that back. But as soon as President Obama says, I need $65 billion to actually fund Afghanistan, they're going to say, sure, here's your check. What he should do is immediately, as the commander-in-chief, which is what I would do, is pull the troops out and say, we don't need your money anymore. Goodbye. I mean, seriously, you watch the Republicans, huh? What? Huh? What was that all about? Because that's all they do. They war.
Well, again, like I said, you're going to start seeing them basically go back to their playbooks now. I mean, McCain basically wins in a landslide again, and you know, well, it was a highly contested primary for him. He's up 59-35 out there in Arizona.
Who is he going against?
And
in
you
the
see
primary?
All the culture war stuff. Who's going to the governor? I'm going to see the governor now. And Jan Brewer, 56-41. She's going to get reelected. This little biatch out there in Arizona. Amazing.
No, racism wins. I mean. I told.
Well, you're in Arizona. I mean, like I said, they, you got to realize that it isn't like the illegals are voting. They're just doing everything else. Jerry Brown's up 51-45.
That's good.
Early returns, 9% of the vote in California.
Jerry Brown is up.
There.
Jerry Brown's up in California.
Jerry Brown's up early. He's up 51-45.
Let me tell you something about Jan Brewer. I said this on the Norman show. I said, you know, motorcycle gangs and whatnot. They refer to their women as my old lady. Jan Brewer is the old lady of the Ku Klux Klan.
It's true.
Bottom line, you know.
Speaking of the Ku Klux Klan, Sharon Engel in Nevada is trailing.
Yeehaw.
Harry Reid. Harry Reid is hanging on there, 52-43.
Good,
11% of the votes in. So that one's shaping up. I mean, it's funny how the West Coast seems to be getting out the vote on the Democratic side, but not so much back east here.
You know, that's the one thing when I called up Norman's show this evening, that was my message. I'm a Republican, and I went down and I did my job, and I voted on the Democratic ticket. And fact of the matter is, you got to get out and vote. It's like bottom line is, if Obama said it best, and he's correct. If everybody shows up like in 2008, they'll lose. That's it. And what about this whole thing about the money? I'm sorry, I don't mean
for
to
what mention. For health care for what?
No, the
money,
money
for anything.
No, the money about the whole Citizens United against United, the whole nine yards, the Supreme Court decision. This whole thing about the amount of money they throw into campaigns, I mean, first off, it's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of money they spent on these campaigns,
mm-hmm.
on like, you know, these 357 organizations, billions and billions of dollars. Imagine how much help they could have done for people. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. The fact of the matter is that they threw all that money, and this is the dent that he put in. I don't think that's much of a dent.
Like I said, if you understand these things, there's nothing more and nothing less than puppet theater. I mean, let me see what Colbert's doing here.
Legalized marijuana in the state of both yes and no. He's even being beaten by write-in candidate Led Zeppelin Rules.
Hey, Mark, can I stick with you for a bit?
Wow. The legalizing of pot is losing in California.
Can I stick with you a bit? I'd like to speak a little bit.
I'm here. Go ahead.
No. You know, it's like, you know, the amount of money, like it's like I told you about, did Susie Oppenheimer win? I don't even know.
Oh, let me check.
I love Susie. She's good people.
Susie Q King, you go. Let's see. I go down to districts here. What district are we in?
We're in the 18th district, and I am. I don't know.
Right. Well, that's Nita Lowey. Nita Lowey's going to win 63-37.
Of course. God bless.
Yeah. Rub a stamp on that one.
She's good people. Nita's okay.
I'm sick of her name.
Yeah, I know. Her name is a little, you know, it's like, please, you know, change it to Susan. I'd rather Susan Lowe, because Nita's a little young.
So what other...
Our local senator, it might be the same with you, is Susie Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
I know her from the years when I worked at early days and when I worked at Westchester Joint Waterworks as an Amerinic.
Hmm.
What a good
yeah,
crew.
District 14, is it? No.
I canvassed against her. That was my first political assault against a candidate because I was a
political
Republican.
Assault.
Oh yeah. I worked for John Perone. I thought, you know, it's like I thought he was a good man. John was a good guy. He was a good guy. And let me ask you a question. What about Joe DiGuardi? Is Hildebrand or whatever going to win?
Yeah, I'm trying to get New York State results here. The district by district here is tough. So,
I think Kirsten is going to win. Joe DiGuardi, I haven't seen a picture of him. He's like about 80 years of age by now. He has to be, because I canvassed for him in 84, and he was like about 48. So, just do the math.
Oh, let's see. I know Schumer won, Gildebrand won.
Good. Yeah, good.
Senators.
Gildebrand. So when the smoke clears, we have to deal. So in other words, the pocket of pus.
Peter freaking King won, which upsets me.
Who's that?
Peter King, Homeland Security guy in Long Island. It makes you nuts.
Okay, well, you're a Long Island guy from years gone back.
Yeah, he just reminds me of all these crooks.
All I remember is from Long Island is Lazio, and to me it was like, you know,
yeah,
send Lazio on. He's a sneaky little, you know what, you know, after.
Yeah, right. Hey, speaking of sneaky little shits, Nadler won again.
Who?
Oh, my. Jerry Nadler. Oh, God. Can't get more phony. And Anthony Weiner wins again, District 9. Let's see. I'm still trying to look for Oppenheimer here.
Oppenheimer is in Westchester. Just Westchester. Susie Oppenheimer. Who knows? She's good people. I'll tell you, she's good people. You know, and I really, you know, helped rail against her back then, and whatnot. Like I said, this is as screwed up as this may be. this is a great door of opportunity to expose them. You got to think of it
like I said, they'll take their you know, their pats on the back the next couple of days, and then they'll get their kick in the ass the next 2 years. Because to me, it's like if you're just a one trick pony, like most of these guys are.
Absolutely.
Push comes to shove when they actually have to govern. That's why I kind of respect McCain, even though he's half brain dead, is that he understands how corrupt the system is,
mm-hmm.
even though he's been in the system forever.
Mm-hmm.
I just, it's like, to me, it's like we see through this at this point.
It's like I was kind of, it's like I hate to say it, I was kind of hoping that the House would be lost only for one reason. Because I was really irritated when Nancy, who I think is a really terrific person, you know, basically, you know, said, I'm not going to even seek impeachment. And Kucinich, of course, I'm sure he won. I'm sure
Kucinich.
Well, I'll
check on that one. I'm looking up for Susie here.
But that he was the one who actually opened up impeachment hearings. Now, when you watch the House of Representatives, they have subpoena power. And now they're going to actually try and bring, you know, the president and this other thing. You watch and see. If they actually try this, they are going to, it's going to be mm-hmm. so, it's going to be such a backlash. The African-American vote is going to come out in droves in 2012. And you know what? I told Norman, you know, I call him up. I'm a Republican.
Yeah.
I was a registered Republican. I voted Republican. I canvassed Republican. I'm a knee-jerk liberal. I'm everything you could call me. I'm, you know, whatever you want. They call me communist. They call me this, socialist. You know what I am? I'm a pit bull. The difference is, unlike most of the Democrats, is I see blood and I go right after it. And I don't have any problem with it. The fact of the matter is that the problem with the Democrats is that they don't vote like Republicans. Republicans show up, as Michael Moore would say, they're up at 5:30 in the morning looking to find different ways to screw people out of their life. He's right. You know, I mean, the bottom line, it's reality. It's like you gotta go out there, you gotta fight them. There is no such thing as sitting down an election. you gotta go out and vote. The average
mm-hmm.
there is a reality. If you don't, if the majority decides to get up and vote, who are they going to vote for? The rich guy? Seriously, if you get up and vote in the morning and let's say your neighbor down the street is running for Congress, you know, average person or even just like a lawyer type against Donald Trump, you're going to vote for your neighbor. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Well, again, the midterm elections, when you don't have the machine running things like you do in the presidential elections, it does come down to personalities. It does come down to you know, kissing babies and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of the old way of doing things. Let's see.
But well, this thing, the Republicans hid behind of a lot of loose money that was brought forth by our beautiful, you know, what's it called again? Supreme Court, you know, the supremacist court.
supremacist court.
Roger B. Taney and all his friends up there, you know, John Roberts, you know, we all know Roger B. Taney. He's a great guy. He said that a black man has no rights that a white man is obliged to uphold.
Mm-hmm.
And the same person that actually said that is our John Roberts, who said that corporations are human beings. So, I mean, they can give unlimited amounts of money.
Well, we're at that point.
No, that's what happened. I mean, half of the money that was coming for Bob Cohen against Susie Oppenheimer came from Virginia. You know, because the Confederacy definitely needs to invest in my Yankee local senator. I mean, so what are you looking at?
Well, the news for your friend Oppenheimer here is, as of 11:53 p.m., Cohen had 51%, Oppenheimer
49%.
Ah! So we're down to the rave, to the nitty-gritty. Cohen's election office at the Crown Plaza, where plans have gathered around a huge projection screen to monitor the results to come in. So down the stretch they come. for that
Well, they're going to hate me because I told one of them to go after, you know, mother, and I told another one I hope he dies, so they're going to remember me.
Right, then.
And I also actually took one of the flyers and I wrote down and I said, you know, send back to sender, tax the rich and solve the problem. So I guess I'm going to be an enemy number one. So, you know,
well,
I guess I'm
going to... They're singling you out, but, I mean, it is a close election, and Susie might end up winning. It's not over yet.
Well, just like, you know, my own town is Harrison, West Harrison, you know. I mean, you know, Joan Walsh. She comes from behind all the time. She's good people, too. Joan's good. She make you a hell of a good baked cookie, too. Chicken, you know.
There you go. Let's put that on the ticket.
So what do you think?
Won his election in Ohio, so he got 55% of the vote.
So what do you think?
A lot of people turned out in Cleveland for the cult hero.
You got to understand something about Kucinich. I mean, he was the mayor of Cleveland, and he bankrupted the city, but he did it to save the power supply for the city. He said, I'm not going to give this to special interests. People have to understand. I mean, you know me with credit cards. I mean, like a zillion one and whatnot and stuff like that. 15 years ago, if I had 20 of them, I had 18 were different banks. Now, if I have 20 of them, they're all five different banks. I mean, there's seriously a problem there. I mean, I think that Teddy Roosevelt, you know, would probably be a little aggravated by the monopolies that are going on right now. So tell me, am I disturbing you?
We have 49 Democrats in the Senate, 6 undecided, 45 Republicans. Get closer there. The governor's races are still 20 to 13. One independent has won.
What about Cuomo?
Oh, he won in a landslide.
God bless America.
Freaking landslide. He crushed that crook, Palladino.
I love it.
And
crushed that crook.
Crushed that crook.
Crushed that crook.
That's right. Yeah, it was 60 to 36, 1.5 million votes to 900,000. So,
yeah, I know some of the people, some of the Democrats I know. You know, it's like it's funny when, you know, it's like when I was younger and I used to go to the Irish pubs, and the ones with the brogues, I'd sit there and I'd play the music and they'd greet me with, you know, like I'm the best. I'd tell them my name, you know, ended in a vowel, and they're like, huh? It's like the same thing with the Democrats. It's like, you know, you speak their way and you tell them you're Republican, and all of a sudden they're like standoffish. It's like, come on, let's go over it. Let's get away from it. Let's move on. Well, I don't even know. Are you an independent?
Independent what?
What is your party?
I'm not registered as anything. No,
you're an independent.
Basically, I'm much more of a platform voter than I am a party voter. So to me, when I see the way these things get constructed, especially when it comes down to something that affects my livelihood, I have like a memory like an elephant, and I kind of know who people are tied to. So it's like, when it comes down to these things, it's like I was saying before, if you wanted to take the healthcare thing on when it happened, summer 2009, the way Obama took it on was the way a centrist would take it on, the way someone who wants to be a regulator takes it on, is that he tries to basically cover everything one giant blanket when, you know, the country's kind of built like an English muffin. There's a lot of nooks and crannies. So to me, what you have to do is basically trust, and they don't do it, but you have to trust that the local government to budget itself and then let that ramp up to becoming a county budget, then a state budget. You know, instead, they do everything from the central government out. So what happens is that only the big fish get fed, and you see hospitals closing up, burn centers closing up, and nursing homes closing up because they can't be privately funded.
To me, that's
so
unfair.
Like, but that's the reality they want because they want to make it so that they can push across legislation that only exists on paper. When you try to put it on the street, it doesn't apply, and that's why you're going to see a lot of the stuff that they quote-unquote achieved in the last 2 years never see the light of day because it's never going to get down to the local level.
Like I said to
you, they don't want to wire it that way.
Like I said to you before, what you brought up is a very important issue. the bottom line is that if you're going to mandate any sort of health coverage or any sort of like situation like that, you have to treat it the same way you would treat sending, back in the 60s, sending troops to desegregate, you know, schools. I mean, it has to be a broad situation. And my opinion is, as far as I'm concerned, as far as healthcare coverage, I'm with you as far most of the, you know, the prescriptions, all those, you know, all this stuff and whatnot. And the, I mean, I'm listening. I watch these drugs. You know, they're promoting drugs on TV. I don't know why the hell that shouldn't be taken out like the cigarette ads, but that's my opinion. The fact of the matter is, all I care about as far as healthcare coverage is like a hospitalization plan by the government where you can't lose your property. You can't be bankrupted because you had an illness. That's all I care about. As far as everything else is concerned, I really don't give a damn. I mean, you should be able to do what you want. And it's, to me, Medicare for all is a nice thing. And as far as your line of practice, they should not even touch your line of practice. And if you shouldn't even be involved.
It doesn't even exist. The stuff I do doesn't even exist because it's not part of healthcare.
But to me, it should be an option.
But the thing is that's what I was saying about half an hour ago, is that the reason why it doesn't work in their model is because their whole thing is to give massive access, right? So that they look like they're doing some services, but they don't have the people that actually can offer the services. So they're going to get cheap imitation or a lower level of training to do that primary care because they don't really care. I mean, it's like, basically, like I said, it's more to make it look like something was done when actually nothing was done.
Well, I mean, that's
why the result's going to be more closed hospitals, more closed nursing homes, more closed burn centers.
That was a farce.
Less quality.
It was a farce. It was a farce as far as healthcare. Is you go universal, you don't. But if the bottom line is like,
well,
to me,
even if they went universal, they'd still be doing the same thing. They'd still be, you know, rolling out the troops in the, you know, those mobile units in the Superdome. Taking care of everybody.
Yeah, exactly. With old lady, you know, Bush, you know, saying that they had such a great time. It's a wonderful thing.
Not Katrina. I'm talking about, you know, where they put these mobile units out to give health care to the uninsured now as a means to demonstrate how many people need care, when to me, emergency services should be like the fire department or the police department.
Well, that's the way I feel about it.
An EMS truck that comes to the meat wagon and gets you up the highway. All ERs should be basically just like fire departments. They should be part of the local budget. No one should ever have to pay to be peeled off the pavement.
That's all I'm saying.
It's the high end stuff that they can't afford.
Bottom line is that my attitude is that they can do whatever they want, and as far as the Republicans are concerned, but no one should ever lose. They should never be totally bankrupt because they have a situation, cancer or whatever. That's it. I don't, you know, to me it's like it doesn't make a difference which way the wind blows. You know me. I mean, I avoid the medical clan because they're like the Ku Klux Klan sometimes. But that's my certain, you know, situation. But I mean, it's like I go to
medical clan.
They're good. I mean, some of the doctors are good. Some of them care. I mean,
individual doctors are fine. It's like I said, when you're dealing with the way the professions are governed, because of the fact that, you know, most of the healthcare bill was governed basically manufactured by drug companies and insurance companies.
Thank you.
AMA didn't back it, and they're the ones that benefit because they know that they're going to get undercut.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the medical profession is going to be more squeezed, and what they say, 25% of the doctors in practice are going to leave as a result of this, because basically you can't, if your overhead stays the same and your malpractice stays the same and you have to see more clients to make the same or less money, it's a losing proposition. I said if you made every doctor that was licensed in every county a health educator for that county, and you made those services available to the public for free as part of the living in that community, all of a sudden, You don't have to raise anything. Everybody gets access to stuff. They get access to information. They can ask questions to doctors without having to have appointments with them. Everybody basically is available.
What you see,
and you'd have a more fluid system on a local level. What they try to do is govern it on the big scale with, you know, 350 million people, and you can't fit them all into the Walmart. So we end up not getting nothing done. It's the ultimate phone booth mentality.
Dr. Eco, you're speaking very utopian, very exo right there.
I'm trying to be fair. I'm trying to solve a problem that no one's going to solve.
The thing is that what you just said was almost like a paradox, perhaps. You're saying that if you gave the doctors to have an open forum so people can ask them a question, I don't know if you've ever spoken, well, you have, with your family situation. You talk to a doctor, you actually speak to him about something. It's like the ads on the TV, ask your doctor. The bottom line is that I go to a medical practitioner and I say, I start talking about, my health, and they're like, just take this drug and go away. That's the mentality.
Mm-hmm. Well, again,
there is no questions. They know everything. They're better than us.
But I'm couching the question of, if you ask an allopath anything, you're dealing with the third leading cause of death. Even if they're the doctor of the year, there's still the third leading cause of death is Western medicine. When you listen to them, forget about when you go off label or you get drugs on the black market or you mix your drugs with your friend's drugs in the waiting room, which I've seen happen. So 31 million people get more access to the third leading cause of death. The only one that benefits is the insurance company and the Undertaker. If you want to kill the Undertaker's business, you let the hospitals go on strike. That's the truth. Every time the hospitals go on strike, the death count goes down.
Yeah, well, the hospitals are the breeding ground for bacteria to begin with.
It's a big bug farm. They know that. See, that's the thing. If you actually talk to people in the profession that are grinding it out every day, that have been regulated into the pavement, they know the score. But it's the ones that are regulating it from, state capitals and the Beltway. They don't care about that stuff. The insurance companies write that off. I mean, you can have, insurance policies that basically benefit if a 25-year-old part-time worker, a female, dies, and you have the peasant policy. And Walmart makes a million while the family has to pay for the funeral. I mean, if you can have a system that out of whack, then, why at it? Stay sick, America.
Well, corporations, if you actually limit, the thing is, it's not the runaway, like you say, tort reform, like they say, torts and tort actions and everything else. It's the runaway write-offs. If you limited their write-offs. Exactly. If you write this off and write that off, if you say you can't write it off anymore, they have to take a different, they have to take a different stand. They have to go like, General Long Street near Manassas Junction. They have to go north because they're going to get hammered. I mean, me, I can't help it. History is with me. It's like you with you, and it's like history with me. But it's like, I think the doctors have been manipulated out of control. I mean, when I was a kid, my pediatrician when I was a kid was a hell of a nice guy. Maybe I'm wrong, but they wouldn't give against life or antibiotics. And at the time period, you knew what drug you were taking. It was amoxicillin or penicillin. They didn't call it antibiotic. Now everything's antibiotic. It could be, it could be the highest form of destruction or it could be the lowest. It's all death.
And mostly. I mean, they're pathologists. You got to remember, they study disease. That's what they treat. They treat conditions. And the thing is that it's the most expensive way to go is to go that direction. That's the one that the country's chosen. That's the one that everybody's fighting for. Oh, we need more access to this third leading cause of death. We need more vaccines that don't have any medical science behind them and are poisoning people left and right. We need more of that stuff. We need more drugs, the Tamiflu. Come on.
What's wrong with the...
Run.
What's wrong with the flu shot? Let's inject more disease.
Nothing's wrong. That's tomorrow night's show. Tomorrow night, a big swine flu update. As we hit the peak of the cold and flu season, they have lost again. Another flu-tober has gone by, and they've failed to scare everybody. And
now they're
threatening them.
I still love garlic, but I mean
garlic.
No, seriously. I mean, seriously. If you want to do the historical situation about the bubonic plague, for example. They used to wear the garlic.
Garlic's a natural antibiotic. I mean, what I would say is that what they've done in the last 2 years in terms of healthcare reform on the political side, which is to get in bed with the insurance companies and the drug companies, and healthcare strategies or things that are much more effective, which is to go more towards the Tamiflu and the vaccine companies to come up with these big, pushes to get money out of these people to get vaccines for things that don't even affect them. Aren't even as scary as they've been. They were talking about 90,000 deaths last year from the swine flu. And we have less than 10. I mean, it's disgusting how wrong they are. It's like when the weatherman's wrong.
It was 90,000. Sir,
they predicted 90,000 deaths. They predicted 90,000 deaths. And we have less than 10. And the average flu year is about 12. We have less than the average. And nobody, they only got about a third of the stupid shots out there. They can't pat themselves on the back.
And then
this year they combined it.
They combined it with
the seasonal flu. It was causing narcolepsy and all kinds of problems all over the world.
Of course, it's almost like the days of Giuliani when we had that West Niles thing.
Crop-dusting all the humans.
Yeah, thank you. Everything
died but the mosquitoes. It was great. Rabbits. Squirrels, everything was dead, birds, everything but the mosquitoes were dead. Then they came back to, we got the wrong bug.
I stepped inside of my property at 11 o'clock at night. I said, you will turn that thing off in front of this house. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that, sir. I mean that, and I meant that. They just turned they were spraying that stuff all up and down the neighborhood. Made no sense whatsoever. For what, mosquitoes?
We live in a country that only seems to react after it's
to
been
fear,
you know,
stupidity.
Basically after it's been turned over and it's bleeding from orifices that they shouldn't be bleeding from.
Hey, Mark.
Then it goes, hey, maybe we shouldn't trust these guys, and voted back a whole bunch of them in.
Doctor, let me ask you a question. Be quiet.
What?
Listen, what about the bed bugs? They're coming to get us too.
Right. We haven't napalmed them yet.
If they
have enough of an organization, they might actually run. A bed bug candidate.
Unbelievable. It's like it never ends. It's like you wake up in the morning. What is the worst scenario you could actually think? Being snowed in, your daughter, your son having a problem,
snowbound.
Your wife. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, all that stuff. But, every day you're thrown, it's like, this is like actually what Michael Moore said. Or should I say Michael Moore when he was interviewing, Marilyn Manson. It's a consumption of fear and cut to the commercial and this, that, the other. It's the same thing. Makes no damn sense whatsoever. I mean, and of course, the medical profession, it's like, I'm scared to listen to those drug advertisements. It's like, this may cause cancer, this may do this, they may do it, but it'll clear up your skin.
Hey, they live on basically, like you said, on the fast temporary relief model. No one's ever questioned the temporary part. And the relief part, it basically causes side effects. So, I mean, there's nothing that they've never really gotten past that. And public health is a very low standard, what can I tell you? The Democrats just got 50 senators, so you can sleep tight. 5 undecided, 45 Republicans, so it's going to be nip and tuck in the Senate.
What did you say about the House?
Over in the House, it's 202 to 240, to 141 officially, 92 undecided. So it looks like it's going that way. Other projections before had Republicans as much as 240, but West Coast is still too early to call on some of these elections, but And the governorship, let's go out to California, get an update on that. Jerry Brown is the projected winner.
I like Jerry.
How could they have a projected winner at 15% of the things reporting, and he's up 49%?
Because, you believe me, this is California.
One second, they know what districts and all that stuff. Yeah.
You remember what Arch would say? Arch, hey, meathead, it's a land of fruit and nuts.
Harry Reid's still hanging on, but he's not the projected winner yet over there in Nevada. What else is out west I was looking at? Let's see. Oregon. Oregon's going to have a Democratic senator. I guess he's the 50th one. So it's weird. It looks like the Democratic base really got out in the West Coast.
No,
they're
going to
take Washington,
me,
Oregon, Nevada, California, probably Colorado, and you got and maybe Nevada. So they might have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 states.
Mike Papantonio
going Democratic.
Mike Papantonio said years ago, 4 years ago, said you cannot sit around the campfire and sing Kumbaya with these knuckle-dragging mouth breathers. And he's, you know that aunt, though. I mean, he's miserable and he doesn't have any problem. The fact of the matter is that, you know what, like I said, this is a good eye-opener. And there's nothing if they do in the House of Representatives what they're saying they're going to do, if they do, like subpoena power and bringing subpoenas out, they're only going to expose themselves. It's warfare. It's like, what do you think?
Well, what?
I mean, what do you think?
What's
I'm sorry, what do you think would happen if they went on a full frontal assault owning one, phase of the, well, actually one half of the phase of the three phase of the federal government. Well, the Supreme Court, they own that too, so.
I'm not sure what your question is. What do you think?
My
question
is, what do you think the Republicans would do owning one half of one phase of their legislative branch, because the Senate is the other half, and
right.
And the only, and as far as I'm concerned, the Supreme Court is controlled by them too. So, I mean, if you don't realize most of your enemies come from the Supreme Court, you're missing most of the picture.
That's another level of it. I mean, just in terms of ideology, Republicans as a party right now, like I said at the top of the show, they've got to decide if they're going to take the path of the Tea Party and become.
Thank you.
More extreme and more in the culture wars, or are they going to go back to their playbook of, run on emotion, govern on reason, and they're going to become more Karl Rovian and more the sneaky peeps like Boehner there, and
they're going to be hard
right back to the corporations, right back to their PAC money,
their top down
garbage.
They're going to be stupid. They're going to smash hard. Do you?
It's a tappy poll. This is different than when they had a poll against the church. When they had the Republican right to answer to, that was just to get elected. After they got elected, they went and did whatever the hell they wanted.
Exactly.
They can't go spend. They can't go cook the books anymore. Right.
It has
to be. They have a decision to make. But the Democrats, between progressives and moderates, they have a decision to make too, because starting tomorrow, Obama's going to be running for re-election. He's not going to give a rat's ass about these guys. And, are they going to back him, or are they going to step back and let him go right into the teeth of the storm here? Because I don't think there's a Republican on the planet that can run against Obama.
There's not one. But at the same time, this is, I hate to say it, I was kind of hoping for this, because now they're out in the open.
Now everyone can see them. There's a short list of names. Pelosi goes to the back of the seat, the back of the bench. She's out
in the open.
And you got to put up with Boehner, and you got to put up with the Eric, whatever his name is, the jerk off, screaming and yelling at Obama
now,
every single day. It's like Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich helped Clinton get reelected in 96, but all his crappy pull from 94 to 96. So if Boehner takes the trap and does the same thing, he'll only help Obama then.
No, Obama's going to win anyways. Because he's going to bring his people out.
Yeah, but Boehner is being speaker as opposed to majority whip. you know, and being more of a background role, he's going to be more visible, more accountable. His votes
Thank
are going to count. And so
down
we're going to have
open.
A scoreboard here.
He's out
there. Yeah, it isn't just, like I said, they can't boo from the sidelines anymore. So we'll see how they
Thank
play.
You. This is a beautiful thing. Now mm-hmm. let's see what Keith and Ed and Rachel on a daily basis keep saying about that side of the aisle. Throughout
they'll have two stories.
You're bringing them out. It's like Spotsylvania. You're bringing them out in the opening. You're bringing the rebels out in the open, the Confederates. Now you have an open line of sight. Bottom line.
Well, the sooner they realize there's a new game in town, the better. But tomorrow night we're going to go back through the winners and losers and domainify this whole thing. We'll profile the winners and
mm-hmm.
see what domain won the Senate and what won the House and what won the governorship.
Am I boring you?
If we're governed by Philos and governed by Antos and electing Philos or the other way around. So we'll take a look at the profiles of some of these guys tomorrow night as we get ready for time clock weekend. As we roll the clocks back to 1955, to 1 hour back on the weekend for the fallback. And as we go back to the land that we love. Everybody have some apple pie tonight, a little ice cream on it, and we'll be back tomorrow night at 9 o'clock to go over all this again from a little more of a somascope view. And if you're out there in California, root on our buddy out there, our eco in charge, Jerry Brown. Hopefully the old man can pull one off and keep his heart beating until Friday, but we'll see what happens. So thanks, Tom, for joining us. And, your insight is always appreciated here at the midnight hour. So
love you.
I think we learned a little bit. And you got. I don't know what's going on. Let me get one more fast update on Oppenheimer here.
I think
she's going to win. Close. Well, it was 51-49 when we checked it. Let's see. Susie with a Z. Come on, Susie. Oppenheimer. Enough. It's going to be interesting to see how the locals take that one. Killing me. There it is. The spelling bee, Oppenheimer. All right, got it. Internet. Our base is over in Rye tonight, looks like. Grace Street. Oh, Portchester. Really? Wow. Funny place for a base. Wow. Heard it. Mud. In state campaign, District 37, Senate race, District 37. See if I can get anything on this thing. Refreshing the data.
Do you know what one of the biggest ads campaigns that Bob Cohen ran against her?
What's that?
She wanted to abolish the STAR program.
Uh-huh.
And she voted against the STAR program, for people like me. I used to get a check for like $500 some odd for STAR rebate. And that was the biggest one. But meanwhile, the Cohen guy was a slumlord.
Looks like it's going to go overnight, so we'll be back tomorrow to discuss that one. So it looks like they're going to sign us off the air here. So thanks for joining us here on Summertime. We'll be back again tomorrow night. And thanks, Tom, for hanging out. Have a great election night's sleep. See you tomorrow at 9. Take care.
Take care, brother.
sapiens.